When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I just feel like I've been around the block, ripping up fantasy stock, working around the clock. Look at the view from the top. Researching rookies a lot? No, I just be listening to pods. Yeah, one in particular, I'm just a messenger. Let me just pass on the rock. Browning, Brunning, Bruning, pronouncing ain't what he's doing. What he's doing is not losing, but infusing you with new things. And there's Dennis the Bennett. Yeah. The man is a menace, yeah. Building a dynasty, some of the finest things. Promise you, you won't regret it. Sly as a fox, cultured in pop. Give him his props. Here is a thought, here is a box. And you cannot compare him at all, so don't even try. Careful with the news, but when you use a take, I take up Tony Fire, I mean Dyer, because anyone else is a huge mistake. Whoa. Fantasy round table, fantasy, fantasy round table. Yeah. Fantasy round table, come take a look at the crown, baby. Hey. Fantasy round table, fantasy, fantasy round table. Woo. Fantasy round table, come take a look at the crown, baby. Go.
What is going on, everybody? We have completed week 7 of the NFL and your fantasy football seasons with the game wrapping up last night between the Bears and the Rams. Not an overall great game, but at this point, I think we're about to get to the point where we're going to want football all the time again. So I'm going to take it for what it was. And it was fun to be able to watch football last night. Matt, how you doing on this wonderful Tuesday?
Well, still pretty cold here. We're up at 34 degrees right now, which doesn't sound great, but is about 30 degrees warmer than it was at this time yesterday. But yeah, I started my day with a migraine early in the morning, so been slow to bounce back, a little groggy, but it could also just be the deflation of watching that Bears-Rams game, which I told my friend was about the football equivalent of Ambien.
Yeah, you know, I'm playing a little hurt today too. Don't know why. Maybe it's just all the sitting around that I've been doing today, which I usually don't get to do. My calf on my left side is like seized up on me and making it very difficult to walk. And I'm not enjoying this at all. But I enjoyed, for the most part, the game last night just because it did help me get a huge win, which I needed by a whopping 3 points. So I'm excited about that. I needed that win to move to 3-4 and hopefully work my way into the fantasy playoffs in a league that I missed the playoffs for the first time last year in like 6 years that I've been in it, gotten 3 championships out of these past 6 years. So I needed it. I needed it big time.
It helped me not because of how well people did, but because it was not a great game. So I've looked at one of my 14 team leagues. Yeah. Guy I'm playing has the Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams stack, which he was probably feeling good about, but I have Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett. So I vaulted over him on Sunday night and he just needed 10 points from Darrell Henderson. And I thought that would probably happen, but he got 9.7. And I looked this morning, I was like a 0.2 victory.
Yeah, that happened to – damn, I just looked. I forgot to look at my Scott Fishbowl team. I lost by 8 points.
I lost by a couple, too, because of Carson.
Yeah, I forgot. My one that I hated the most, I was going to – it's the league that I traded for Michael Thomason, of course, as we talked about, and I had to play Nelson Aguilar. It's a very heavy IDP league, and I was up by 10 points, and I don't know who he had, but he ended up beating me by literally 0.7 points. So I'm not really happy about that this morning or to see that, but because that drops me now to 1-6 in that league. I've literally played almost the highest. I'm third in points, and I am 1-6 in that league. 16-team league as well. It's very, very frustrating, with also losing Saquon Barkley as well.
You know, it's amazing. Even though I feel like it's been an up and down season, all my teams are like right around 500. It feels like when I was inventorying things today, I think I only have one team out of 38 that only has one win.
Oh, good for you, I guess. I think I've got one, which may be our that one, and then I'm pretty sure I'm still winless in our redraft league because I don't pay attention to it at all, which I probably shouldn't admit on here, but I just don't. So anyways, the game last night, Bears and Rams, you know, again, it was a football game, so we can clarify it by that. Rams went 24-10 on the Bears' side here. Foles, 6 points. Montgomery, 11. Robinson, 11. Darnell Mooney, 7. And Jimmy Graham, 8. The Bears' offense obviously did not look good last night. Some of that I think you can attribute to a good Rams defense, but overall, what are you doing with this Bears' offense? We saw Matt Nagy come out today and say that Foles is still going to be the starter moving forward.
Yeah. And that's the tough thing. I think if you were watching Twitter last night, there was a lot of people asking, you know, is Mitch going to get a chance to come spark this team? Because he had actually started the season pretty well. You know, we have to remember the Bears were undefeated at the time that he got the hook. But when that happened, you know, Nagy said, I'm going to decide whether it's going to be Foles or Trubisky, and we're not going to keep going back and forth. So I think to his credit, he doesn't want to just spend the rest of the season alternating quarterbacks. You know, you made a decision, you're going to stick with it for good or for bad. They're still only 5-2. They went into that last night's game, I think they said, with the best record in the NFC. If the playoffs would have started yesterday prior to that game, they would have been the one seed. But, you know, and the Rams, you know, so both teams now are 5-2 for a matchup that was between two pretty decent teams who would be NFC playoff teams. It wasn't that fun to watch. And the Bears have been a little bit of a slog to watch all season. I don't even think they've been as fun as they were a couple of years ago when they, you know, they went on that run. They have a good defense. They are occasionally getting the ball to Allen Robinson for some explosive plays. But, you know, some of the decision-making, you know, it's not maybe totally on Foles. I think there was an interesting comment made by Brian Griese during the broadcast. He said that, you know, in talking to Foles, Foles said sometimes a play gets called in and he knows it's not going to work when he hears it and before he calls it in the huddle. Well, that seems like a bad sign. We've seen Foles kind of come over and argue with the coach a little. Argue is maybe not the right word, but have discussions. So it seems like not everyone's on the same page. Is it a result of changing teams, not in the off season, but for fantasy, Montgomery seems like he should be getting work. So you're still rolling him out, but it's been hit or miss. And Robinson now, I think he went into concussion protocol in that game. So that's an even bigger bummer. If he misses, I really don't want any of the wide receivers because I don't have enough faith that they're getting the ball and getting enough, you know, to Mooney or to Anthony Miller. In fact, one of the interceptions that got made yesterday was because he was trying to force the ball to Mooney.
Yeah. Robinson went in. It was on the last drive of the game for the Bears. He, I think it was a fourth down play. Actually, he hit him on a quick, almost like curl route, and the defender came in from behind. Robinson hit him, kind of drove his head into the ground. Now, I was kind of watching slash not watching at that point because my game had pretty much been secured fantasy wise and I was doing some other stuff. It did not look like Robinson was like woozy or struggled to get up, but some of the commentators and everything said that he was, and it was the refs who actually pulled him out. It was not Robinson. The refs told him to get off the field. They actually stopped play, told him to get off. He looked pissed off about it, took his helmet off, knelt down on the sideline, looked like he was arguing, and then that was kind of the last we saw of him. And then we found out that he did get entered into concussion protocol. And I'm with you. I mean, if Robinson is out, I think Jimmy Graham, obviously he's not a wide receiver, but tight end-wise, you can probably trust him going forward.
But you were probably playing Jimmy Graham anyway. He's been a good season, and he's been a goal line. But that's probably what made that interception even more frustrating. Graham's been pretty good at the goal line. Allen Robinson's a big wide receiver at the goal line. David Montgomery's there running it, and they tried to force the ball to a short receiver.
Well, I think part of that was, you know, we talked about it yesterday, Jalen Ramsey he was on A-Rob a lot. It seemed like they were going to A-Rob when they would move Jalen Ramsey onto Jimmy Graham. And once they moved him onto Graham in a couple drives, they started going to Robinson, then they moved Ramsey back. So I don't know how much of it was due to that. I mean, we all know Ramsey's a really good cornerback. Obviously, he had the big interception yesterday as well. Montgomery, he's just frustrating, man. Like, he's getting the work, and he's a guy that you drafted as your RB2, and he's putting up, like, low end, like the last place RB2 numbers every single week. He's more of an RB3, I think, moving forward. It's one of those things where you probably don't have anybody better than him at this point to put over him in that RB2 spot, but it kind of sucks that you have to trust on him or trust him to play.
Well, he seems like he's running okay when they give him the ball. They're just, you know, we've gone through this a lot. That's probably one of my biggest criticisms, you know, of this Matt Nagy experience has been, you know, we've even heard him even last year talk about, I need to run the ball more. I'm going to do that. And then it doesn't happen. I think Montgomery only had like 14 carries last night. And it's not like the game was a huge blowout. And for a lot of these running backs, they have to have some carries to get it going. And then we see stupid things like on a crucial fourth and one, you're going to decide to run and give the ball to Cordarrelle Patterson. Get out of here with that.
Yeah.
You know, these are, it's like you're outthinking yourself.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of one of the complaints we've had about him since last year as well, is that that first year, that offense seemed to just be humming, everything was working, and then last year, I don't know what was going on, too much moving parts, too much stuff going on that seems to continue to this year. Again, I mean, if you've got Montgomery, you likely have to start him. The chances of you having multiple backs better than him, you know, obviously Dynasty, you might, but most redraft leagues, you probably don't. You drafted him to be your RB2, yeah. And unfortunately, he's not going to put in those high-end RB2 numbers. You're just going to have to roll with him.
And he's untradeable. I tried to make what I thought was a fairly – I'm in a super flex league. I offered him and a second, which would be probably 201 based on my record, to try to get Tua. So that wasn't even close.
Yeah. On the Rams side here, Goff, 16 points. Henderson, 9. Brown, 11. Woods, 5. Cooper Kupp, 11. Josh Reynolds, 15. And Gerald Everett, 12. The Rams win this one. They continue to spread the ball around here. Are there any real safe bets in fantasy for you?
I mean, Goff's been a pretty solid quarterback, too, because whoever's distributing the ball is going to, you know, they're distributing it to somebody, but last night was prime, probably example. Henderson looked like he was probably the better back, but Brown got the goal line carry. Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp are in there, but Josh Reynolds got the touchdown pass. You know, Gerald Everett had a decent game, probably because Higbee was out, but then Johnny Munt was also getting things, which tells you they intend to use two tight ends, regardless of whether Higbee's available to them or not. They use four or five receivers. It's been great for them. They've been a solid team, they as a team anyway, but we talked about it for fantasy. It's been real rough. You don't have that bankable thing. And people have even commented the offense doesn't look quite as ferocious and dynamic. They're doing what they need to do to win. They're using all the pieces at their disposal. But even, you know, we've talked about before Robert Woods being incredibly underrated, borderline wide receiver one. They're both low end twos. Kupp may end up being a wide receiver three, because Kupp's another one, you know, you would think going to go for 100 balls a year easy. He and Edelman are probably two of the biggest, strangest fall offs this year. They haven't been injured. They should, you know, fundamentally, they should be the same receiver, but in their offenses, they're just not getting the targets and the receptions that you need.
Yeah, I heard on SiriusXM this morning that what Sean McVay has kind of said, or that the Rams front office has intimated, is that they don't, they know what Jared Goff is and they know what he isn't, and they don't want to put too much on his shoulders. They just kind of want to give him the plays that will help him succeed. He's very good at reading plays quickly, but not someone that can necessarily sling the ball all over the place. That's why you see him do kind of those rollouts. They do a lot of the plays to get the ball out of his hand quickly. I think this is the Rams offense that it's going to be moving forward. I don't think it's going to be the Rams offense we saw 2 years ago, where they were throwing the ball all over the place. We had like four or five options on this team that were fantasy startable every single week. I think this is the new Rams offense to expect moving forward. And that's going to be horrible for us fantasy wise when it comes to the running backs, wide receivers, and now even the tight ends, because we don't know what's going on with Higbee. You got Gerald Everett out there. I mean, they had a, what's his name?
Johnny Munt.
Johnny Munt out there yesterday too, doing stuff. So it's going to be a cluster for us fantasy wise on this team.
And it's, you know, we've seen Gerald Everett get rushing touchdowns. Yesterday, Robert Woods got carries. The only one who doesn't seem to have any role whatsoever is Cam Akers, which is even more fascinating.
Well, and I think that goes back to something I talked about last or 2 weeks ago, I think it was now, was that I think he's Darrell Henderson of last year. He just, for whatever reason, he's got the injury, especially with this, no offseason. We've talked about how it seems like players who talk about this Rams offense and everything under Sean McVay is very complicated. I just think he doesn't fully understand the offense. And that's kind of what we saw out of Henderson last year, right? I mean, we saw Henderson have a couple games where he struggled, had that one good game. Akers has had a couple good runs, but then his struggle, they were like, oh, Henderson must not be the guy we all thought he was. Well, then he comes out this year and he looks great. So I think Akers is a guy actually you can probably buy low on dynasty wise and will be a guy who's going to be really good next year. But this year, I don't think he's a guy you can trust.
Do you think maybe in 2021 we're going to see Henderson and Akers doing what Henderson and Brown are doing right now?
Yes. And what I will say is I think it will become more of a Akers in the Henderson role, Henderson to the Brown role, because I do think Akers is more talented than Henderson, and I don't think Brown will be there. But yeah, this year I think it is. It's going to be mostly Henderson Brown. Maybe later in the year Akers starts to force his way in there, but I think it's a lot for not even just him as a rookie running back, these rookies in general. Like, I think that's why we're all kind of so astonished with how good Herbert's looked, because really no practice time, no preseason, and some of these rookies have gone out there. T. Higgins, another one. I'm trying to think off the top of my head who's another rookie that's playing really well. Ayuk's been phenomenal. Like, we haven't seen as many rookies this year as we have in the past years, where, I mean, Jerry Jeudy's had a couple moments here and there, but he hasn't been overall impressive. You know, Rager's been hurt, so we can't throw Rager up there, but I was trying to think, like, Dobbins, we haven't seen almost anything. Even when Mark Ingram's gone down, it's been the Gus Edwards show, so.
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, it seemed like we've talked about before, running back is an easier position to pick up with no offseason and to thrive, and we haven't even, among a talented group of top end rookies, we haven't really seen them have that kind of success this year. Yep. But receiver down the line has been pretty, you know, I think what holds Jeudy back is probably the offense in general. I mean, Vic Fangio came out yesterday in his press conference and said, we have a passing game problem. All 11 people are going to be needed to fix it. Our passing game is not good. When your coach says that, that kind of suppresses, you know, what's going on there. And Ruggs has been kind of what we expected with some injuries. Probably the most disappointing one is if Edwards could get on the field, be curious to see what he could do. And Rager, you know, a couple guys that have been injured, because otherwise when rookie receivers, even Mims, comes off of injured reserve in a pretty terrible Jets offense, 4 for 42 in your first game against Buffalo, not too bad.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, I'll say especially with the running backs too. I mean, you go back at probably the best two this year have been Taylor Swift, and really neither one has been overly impressive.
And Swift, not Taylor Swift.
Yeah, well, Taylor Swift is amazing too, I guess, depending on who you ask. But yes, Taylor
probably not
and
running
Swift.
The ball.
No, I'd imagine she's not a great running back. But even Taylor has struggled. You know, we've talked about he's struggled as good of a runner as he was in college with his vision and everything. He struggled to kind of get that confidence and really run where he's supposed to. As a lot of people have pointed out when they post their film stuff, I think Nick has done one as well on Jonathan Taylor, where he's shown, like, this is the hole he was supposed to hit, but he went here. And that's some of just not understanding the offense and not having that chemistry with that offensive line. I think that's what's hurt them, as we talked about, though. No preseason. Taylor, in Taylor's defense, too, I think of the fact that for whatever reason, Frank Reich was trying to mix in 80 other running backs as well, instead of letting Taylor get those reps with him being by far the best running back on that team. You know, Swift, I think the reason he's looked so good the past couple weeks is he started to get more and more work, and they started him out in that receiving game role where he thrived in college as well. So it's been an interesting year.
Splitting reps for Taylor would have made more sense if they still had Marlon Mack. I mean, you could make a case for them splitting reps. It makes less sense when you're doing the equal split with Jordan Wilkins.
Yeah, and Nyheim Hines, who, look, don't get me wrong, I like Hines. He's not a running back, though. He's a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield and is extremely dynamic. But when you're watching him run and like just getting demolished at the line of scrimmage, he's not breaking tackles. Jonathan Taylor can break those tackles. That makes no sense to me. Like Wilkins, if you want to argue because he's a traditional running back, fine, whatever. Still think I'm with you. You don't need to do it. But Hines, if you want to pull Taylor off the field and let Hines get catches, I'm all for that. Even though I think Taylor can get is a good pass catcher, Hines thrives in that role. Hines is not a guy you want running in between the tackles. He's just not that good. All right. So some news we kind of forgot to talk about yesterday, and we wanted to make sure we touched on it, was Ryquell Armstead. So he is out for the rest of the year with COVID. We had talked about him a little bit on Friday. You know, Matt had brought up, we hadn't heard much about what was going on with him outside of him being put back on the COVID list. We did find out that he has been struggling with complications due to COVID, struggling breathing and everything. He's been in the hospital twice since contracting it. So I think, you know, that right there alone shows that we still need to take this virus very seriously, regardless of everybody being out there playing football and everything. It's still a very serious thing. Now, the good news to come out of that is he has come out and said, and the Jaguars have come out and said that he should be good and healthy and will be ready to go next season, but that he is not going to come back this year. So for me, just on that, you know, obviously my prayers go out to him and his family. Hope he continues to get healthy. Obviously, I can't even imagine how terrifying that has to be going through that stuff, especially with going, knowing you're having breathing issues and then ending up in the hospital multiple times. Has got to be terrifying.
Yeah. And it's just a reminder, you know, it's been a season where we've had to pivot and people have, you know, been frustrated at times about the virus and some of the protocols and the game shifts, but they're doing it because they're trying to save these guys' lives. And we've had a few guys that go on that kind of come off fairly quickly and don't really seem to have much going on. But here in Denver, we had Von Miller, who didn't, you know, he obviously has missed the season because of a different injury, but in the off season, he got it. And he talked about how much it took out of him and kind of trying to work his way back, and that he really took a little bit of time and paused to think about whether he wanted to even commit to coming to play this season, that there was some real concern for some of those guys about what is it going to be like. You know, a lot of people bounce back from it, but not everyone. We've seen the numbers in our country, and that's real. And I think it's a good reminder, you know, what happened with Armstead, about how serious this is and how important it is to remember that health and safety come first, you know, and how you can't be thinking about frustrations for fantasy football when these guys are trying to make sure that they have a quality of life.
Yeah, exactly. And so I actually did not see this news. It kind of, you broke it for me by putting this on here. So go ahead and give us the breakdown on what exactly happened with Chris Godwin.
Yeah, unfortunately, I broke it because he's on my team, on several of my teams. Apparently, Chris Godwin broke a finger in the game on Sunday and is having surgery for it and is unlikely to play this week. So that's going to be kind of interesting. You know, he had a soft tissue injury and then a concussion, and now the kind of broken finger, three different things, but have caused him to miss time. For everyone who hit the panic train and dropped Mike Evans this week, that might be good news for him, because remember, Antonio Brown not eligible to play in week 8. So Scotty Miller, Tyler Johnson, Mike Evans figure to be kind of the receiver group there. But then it could be very interesting. It seems like it's too early in the process to know if Godwin's going to miss more than 1 week, but potentially then you have week 9 coming back. That would be the first week Brown's eligible to mix in and Godwin. But we've talked about kind of there's not always going to be enough to support all these receivers. So it's a little bit tough, but if you have Godwin, you need to make alternate plans. At least we know pretty early in the week, we know before waivers run, so you can go in there and make claims accordingly. I would think on Tampa Bay, it's probably a boost for Evans, Miller, and Gronkowski this week.
Yeah. All right, so waiver wire stuff. That's about it. We have a nice, easy show for you guys today. Yep. Waivers. So QBs, the top guys that I saw, and again, if you've got anybody you can think of, throw them on here. But Tua at 29%, Locke at 9%, and then, of course, Baker at 33% with the big game last week. Anybody else you can think of off the top of your head? Or
no, and even with that list, so
yeah,
if you're in Superflex, you're probably all quarterbacks
are our own
rostered.
Yeah, you know. Rostered.
If you're in single QB and you're looking to patch a hole, or you're not feeling good about the performances you've gotten, we talked about yesterday. I like potentially Baker. He looked like he was a little freer out there slinging it. It's going to be a new world. I actually am more confident trying to pick him up and put him out there than I've been in a few weeks, which is weird to say when you think about a team that lost a premier wide receiver. I'm going to be honest. Outside of Superflex or Dynasty, I'm not taking Locke. I'm not taking Tua. Tua, we've seen him throw a grand total of 2 passes. I need to see something out of him before I know. Because we're talking redraft leagues here. We need to see something to know for sure that that's even going to be a value this season. And I need to see, Drew Locke look better against the Chargers, because he wasn't great against the Patriots. The Broncos won that game, but it was not a great performance. Not a good completion percentage, not a lot of yards and interceptions. He has not thrown a touchdown pass in the 2 games he's been back, but he has thrown 4 interceptions. He did run for 1 against the Chiefs, but that offense, as I said, I live here, so I saw Fangio's press conference where he said we have a passing game problem. We sure do, and that's not something you want to take a chance on in fantasy. I have to start him in a couple super flex leagues where I lost Dak. Not that thrilled. Last week, I was actually looking about putting – if Michael Thomas would have played, I would have played him in the OP instead of Locke.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in something where – if you're in a redraft league where who else is on bye this week? I know the Jaguars are.
The Cardinals, so it's going to be brutal. Murray's on a bye. The Jaguars are on a bye. Let me go look. There was a couple of actually – oh, the Texans, so Deshaun Watson is on a bye, and there's one other team.
So, I mean, you're missing at least 2 right now until Matt can possibly find the last one. You're missing Watson and Murray. If you have to, if you're someone who rosters 1 QB, like I've talked about, I do most of the time. This year I've been rostering 2 because of COVID. But for most years I roster 1 QB.
Washington is the other team, so you probably weren't playing Kyle Allen.
If you're in a league where you were rostering 1 and your guy was Murray or Watson, if you're having to go to the waiver wire. Minshew. Yeah.
People could have been Minshewing it up.
I think for me, I'm probably going Baker out of that group. I think that game between them and the Raiders has a better chance of being good. Like, I really don't love Tua going up against the Rams as his first game. I don't love that at all. I think Tua has a chance to be a really good quarterback, but that scares me a little bit going up against the Rams. And while the Raiders have a good defense, I think them being in Cleveland, that kind of West Coast to East Coast swing there, I think does help them a little bit. Baker looked a lot better there at the end of that last game, so he would be the guy that I would probably go for on the waiver wire if you have a Murray, Minshew, Watson, and you don't have a backup quarterback on your roster.
Well, in the Raiders, you can throw against them. I mean, we've seen quite a few quarterback, so I don't think that would necessarily scare me that much.
Running backs, we've got a couple interesting names on here. One we talked about the other day, obviously, with the Mark Ingram injury and him likely not being able to play this week against a good Steelers defense, by the way, as well. So not that they're getting a great matchup here, but Edwards, who's rostered at 11%, LaMichael Perine, 17%, Tevin Coleman, 27%, and Jamichael Hasty, 22%. Those were kind of the names that stood out to me. What are your thoughts on those guys?
I think Perine is probably because I think he's going to have value long term.
Yeah.
So then you start looking. I mean, Tevin Coleman would have value long term, but if you have to have somebody play this week, it looks like it's still a little bit up in the air whether he's going to come off this week.
Yeah.
So Hasty would probably be a bet for this week. I actually liked potentially Edwards for this week because it seems like Ingram's trending toward missing. And even though we both like Dobbins. That hasn't really translated to a strong feeling that he would be the lead back. And we actually saw Edwards, once Ingram was removed, actually look like a pretty strong play.
Yeah.
But they're playing Pittsburgh, so
yeah, that's what scares me.
It's not going to be like probably 30 points for anybody, but yeah. I think if you're looking at this list, the best guys to get you into that 10 to 15 point range, I'd probably do Pirine, because I feel like that's longer term. And we saw Kansas City didn't have a especially great rush defense, unless you're Melvin Gordon throwing the ball over your quarterback's head. And then Edwards, Hasty. I'm a little more leery of Coleman, unless you see that he's seriously going to get activated.
Yeah, but I just added Dobbins on there because I decided to look. He's only 55%, so he might be available too, but I'm with you. Once Ingram came out, they went heavily on Edwards. Now, the one thing that could help Dobbins is they are coming out of their bye week, so maybe they work to get him a little bit more involved, but we won't know that until we see the game. And again, they just held Derrick Henry to, I believe, less than 60 rushing yards, so I'm not thrilled about this matchup for Edwards or Dobbins, whoever gets the start.
I feel like what you're saying is this is going to be the Justice Hill coming out party.
It might be. I mean, see, the one thing I would say is, like, I agree with you on Pirine. You know, I talked about it yesterday. I thought he was kind of a guy that I've been talking about for the past couple weeks. You need to grab him now because there's going to get to a point where he's not going to be available anymore. And while the Chiefs' defense isn't that great against the run, I also could see this being like 35-3 at the end of the half at halftime with how bad their defense is. And so that might just knock Pirine out of the game in general, because they're just trying to throw the ball to keep up. So
this is also a week where I think I'm flexing Le'Veon Bell, because I think they're going to give him a shot against Adam Gase. And Jets defense, not incredibly imposing. Yeah. Bell's first carry last week against what I think is a better Denver front was 18 yards. You know, he had 39 yards on 6 carries. He looked like he could have been better than that. I would not be surprised to see him score this week.
I think Bell's going to have a revenge game this week, no doubt about it. Because I think that's exactly what he wants, and I think Andy Reid's going to be like, you know what, we could do that for you. So
he's going to be like, you know what, it's the Jets, Clyde. We're going to give you a little bit of a fresh
week off. Yeah, but I'm with you in the order as well. I think Pirine has the most value moving forward. If you grab him this week and you have to play him, don't expect much, because I really think the game could get out of hand quickly. Now, it is the NFL, and it feels like every time we talk about a game getting out of hand, it all of a sudden ends up being like a 17-10 game, and the Chiefs are fighting with the Jets. So crazier things have happened, but I think this is likely going to be a big game for the Chiefs here. Then it would be Edwards. I actually would probably put Dobbins right behind Edwards. I kind of have a sneaky feeling with it coming off the bye, they might try and get Dobbins more involved. We kind of saw that with Swift in Detroit. Maybe Baltimore tries to do the same thing here, because we've seen, you know, we've talked about it on the recap shows. Whenever all three were involved, Dobbins was always putting up the better numbers with the same amount of carries, but they just kept splitting it up. Maybe this was kind of the bye week, integrate him more into the offense. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. But again, Steelers, they're good. I actually don't think Baltimore wins this matchup either. I already think the Steelers are going to win it. So not a great game for him this week, but he's a guy, if he's on your waiver, I would try and grab. And then it would be Hasty Coleman as well for me. Wide receivers, this one's a little bit more interesting. Got a couple names on here, a lot of them not widely owned here. In order of the lowest percentage, so Aguilar, who we talked about yesterday, 6% rostered. Ward, 7%. Sterling Shepard, 29%. So I'm guessing a lot of people dropped him after the injury. Then you got Cole Beasley at 41, Brandon Ayuk at 50, and then I threw him in there because he officially signed today. Antonio Brown, everybody went to the waiver wires last week pretty much, 79% rostered.
And you know what's intriguing is he would be, of that group, my lowest priority.
I mean, I'm with you on that, but we saw Friday when we talked about this, a lot of people in here disagreeing with us on his fantasy impact. So I threw him on there so that people know that we are still talking about him.
I think for me, this is both for this week and I think season, I would take Ayuk first. He looks, you know, coming off 6 for 115. Samuel now going to miss. He looks like he's kind of establishing himself, getting a good rapport.
Yep.
I like his chances. Then Shepherd, who was actually pretty decent the first week and then really good coming back. We have not seen that connection with Slayton. Shepherd picks right back up. The offense looked better. He looked pretty good. I think that's a hopeful sign. Then Beasley, because he's been pretty steady. Then Aguilar, who we talked about, who seems like the number one in for the Raiders in terms of their receiver group. I don't always think receivers matter as much in their game plan. You know, their best pass catcher is always going to be Waller. And then Ward, you know, eventually they're going to get some other receivers. He's a good player, but I don't know if he's even, you know, I think it's hit or miss a little bit there.
Yeah.
Did you miss one?
Rager. I forgot about him. I actually put claims in for him today, 14%. There is talk that he will play this week. He was designated to return. Now, they don't have to bring him off, as we've talked about, for I think it's 21 days. But I heard Adam Kaplan this morning, who is as plugged into the Eagles as anybody is, was saying that he has already been out there practicing and catching balls, and they have a really good feeling that he's going to be able to play this weekend, which could be huge for them.
And this is legitimately an important game for the Eagles. I know it seems laughable, 2-5 playing 2-4-1 on Sunday Night Football, but this could literally be the division.
Yep.
You know, if Dallas can right the ship and get a win, we've talked about it's going to be a race to 6 wins, and these teams, you know, outside of playing NFC East games, haven't had a lot of success, so they have to get most of their wins inside the division. It's a really crucial game. They know DeSean Jackson's obviously gone with kind of the tough, heartbreaking, broken ankle. Jeffrey hasn't been able to play all year. It would be nice for them to get Rager back, to get a weapon, because it did not look, last I saw, like Goddard was going to be ready this week.
Yeah, they're saying after
the bye week. Yeah. So, I mean, they're missing Goddard, Nurts, Jeffrey, a lot of experience. It'd be nice for them to get another weapon back. Looked like Sanders wasn't likely to play this week either.
Yeah, they were saying, so what he was saying, and again, I'll just repeat what he said, because he is, in my opinion, one of the best Eagle insiders out there. He's very connected to that franchise, is that they expect him to be back this week and that he will play in the Z role, which is what Jackson was in, and that Fulgham will stay in the X spot. So, I mean, if Rager's available, which is 14%, I think, is rostered. Yeah, 14%. Yeah. I put in a claim for him in a bunch of my redraft leagues today. I was like, if I can get him, I think fire him up, because we've seen the way Wentz has been throwing the ball. You just mentioned it. Goddard won't be back until after the bye week. And I'm going to be honest, Ertz hasn't looked great to begin with, and there's a lot of talk that Ertz may be back too, so I don't even know if I'm really trusting Goddard, because once Goddard and Ertz come back, I still think they're going to try and get it to Fulgham and Rager first with as bad as Ertz has looked. So Rager's a guy that I think, if I was putting it on that list, since I forgot to mention him first, for me, I would still go Ayuk Shepherd first, but I think I would move Rager ahead of Beasley.
Yeah, because there's good potential there. You know, they obviously need receivers. It's going to be interesting to watch too. You know, it seemed like they had to lean on passing. Well, first of all, Dallas, very friendly defense to be playing against, also has to make you a little bit excited if you are rostering some of these Eagles players. But then without Sanders, you know, it seems like they spread the ball around more. Could be another good game for Boston Scott too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's like you said, it is a huge game for them. And I'm with you on Aguilar, Beasley, Brown. Like I said, I just, maybe Brown looks better the first week he's back, if he plays week 9, if Godwin is still out, but I'm still not expecting him to be, you know, the Antonio Brown of old. I think you're asking a lot of a guy who's not played football in, 2 years now almost? So I just don't trust him.
Well, and you have a guy in Mike Evans who's been there all year, who's gone through all the offseason, who gets a 2 for 37 one week in this offense. There's too many options. Yeah. So even if Antonio Brown looks like he's talented, you know, unless they're deciding to focus 12 targets a game on him, no matter what, I mean, you could get a game where he's Scotty Miller's and catches a 60-yard bomb or not. I thought it was interesting. Our friend Dennis commented last week, he thought he was signed to be Scotty Miller's backup. That could very well be. Miller has looked pretty good playing that kind of fly down the field role.
Yeah. Yeah, the only reason I think he'll be a starter is because while Bruce Arians, I guess, has come out the past day or so and kind of been like, no, it was all us in the front office that wanted this. Brady's been saying since like last year that he wanted to play with Gronk and he wanted to play with Brown in New England, and then kind of continued that talk when he got to Tampa Bay. So I do feel like this is more of a Brady move. And if Brady wants Brown involved, Brown will be involved, I think. So again, I'm not,
I think they're all going to end up being involved. That's the real problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I get rostering him, and you know, honestly, I think a lot of people that went and snatched him on the waiver wire real quick have been trying to offer him in trades to see if they can get people who are bummed that they missed out.
Yeah.
You know, and it'll be the most typical thing in the world that either week 9 or 10 he gets you like 20 points, and then everybody's going to be trying to trade for him, and that ends up being the high watermark for the year.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I picked him up when I saw the news, and then I dropped him like half an hour later when I saw Mixon was out, and I wanted Giovanni Bernard more, and so I dropped him for Bernard. Didn't even roster him for that long. Last but not least, the tight ends here. So Richard Rodgers rostered in 10%, Gerald Everett 8%, Harrison Bryant 1%, and then Dallas Goedert, who we just talked about, 47%.
So I have to ask you, what have been the rumblings in Cleveland? Because I saw the report today that Hooper is back to questionable and there's a chance he plays this week, which I have to be honest, if I had surgery and something removed from my body, I'd go ahead and take that 2 weeks.
I'm curious to see that. I got to see where that, because the last thing I saw was that he went back from questionable to out already. I honestly don't think he plays this week. I think...
Now they've downgraded him to doubtful. He was questionable earlier.
Yeah,
now
that maybe that's what it was. Okay. My thought process on him.
I would have been shocked if he came back.
Well, that's what I've tried to tell people. Like, everybody's like, when I was talking to Bryant last week, they're like, nah, Hooper will be back next week. Have you ever had appendicitis? That's a serious surgery. Like, you literally have to have a catheter in.
It wasn't
and everything.
Like last Monday where.
Yeah, it was Sunday.
It was Saturday, wasn't it? It was.
Was it Saturday?
It was Friday.
Was it Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because we talked about
it.
We
were doing our race.
So he had the surgery Friday. Here's the reason why I've thought all along that they're going to keep him out. They have a bye week next week. So why play him this week against the Raiders? You've got the bye week. So now you give him, in essence, almost 3 weeks to get healthy. There's no point putting him on the IR because you're getting those 3 weeks now with last week, this week, and then the bye week. He'll probably come back the week after. So for me, Bryant is going to be a great play this week. Dynasty-wise, you know, we talked about it Friday. He's the guy, if he's available, he was available in some of mine. I grabbed him immediately as soon as I saw him get dropped by other teams because I think he is the future. But Hooper's still going to be involved. What I will say is redraft-wise, he may not be the top. See, it's hard because I don't think any of these guys are great, really, if I'm being honest. Well,
I guess it depends. If you're going, you know, for rest of season as a pickup, I'm probably taking Goddard out of this group because I think there's a better chance of him being involved weeks 8 through 17.
Yeah.
If you're talking about just this week for redraft, it's Richard Rodgers because we don't think Goddard's going to be back. Dallas is incredibly soft as a defense. And then Everett is going to be hit or miss all year. He'll be a better play if you knew Higby wasn't going to be there, but who knows if that's the case. It's a little too early to say. I also think his ceiling, as we just talked about, is not incredibly high because of the way the Rams are playing. Higby's list is questionable at this point in time, but it's probably too early. They wouldn't have started practice probably today because of playing last night. So Bryant, I agree, it's a good stash for the future. If you're in redraft, I think that's a little bit of a tougher gamble.
So here's what I would say on that. I would put a claim in after Goddard. I'm sorry, Goddard. Rodgers gets they got the Vikings this week, right? Is that who the Packers have? I think it's the Vikings.
Oh, Rodgers plays for the Eagles. He's got Dallas.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I don't know why I'm thinking about this. So
that's why I said this week.
Yeah,
it would be if he won this week. We saw him get 15 points against the Giants.
Yeah, I would go. Yeah, so I put him after Rodgers then for me. And here is why. I honestly think if we find out that Hooper's coming back, I would not be surprised if Njoku is traded. We just saw him have a big game. He's got a little bit more value on his name now with a great catch in the end zone. If they don't trade him, then I'm just dropping him right back to waiver, because once Hooper comes back, I do think he'll be kind of relegated to that third role. It'll be Hooper and Njoku. But if they trade Njoku, I think Hooper stays in his role as that in-blocking tight end, and Bryant becomes that offensive guy they want Njoku to be. So I still think when it comes to the Cleveland tight ends, Bryant will be the guy, because the one thing I'll say, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, I think this offense is going to change now with Odell being out, and it's going to go back to Baker just reading the field and hitting the quickest player he sees open. Bryant, to me, is almost in a more athletic version of Mark Andrews. If you go back and look at what those two did in college, he looked for that guy a ton, and we saw it yesterday, or Sunday, I'm sorry, in the game. He was going to Bryant more often than he was anybody else, because Bryant gets those matches against the linebackers, and he is faster and a better route runner than those linebackers are. So Bryant is intriguing to me. In a trade in Joker, we find out Hooper's going to be out longer. So I'm with you. It's got Rodgers, Goddard. Well, I'd go Goddard because, yeah, as you mentioned, he's got the longer play.
Yeah.
Goddard, Rodgers, then Bryant for me. And Bryant is droppable if you find out Njoku's staying or Hooper's going to be back.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm guessing with the...
Just changed out, by the way, for Hooper. Literally just came up. Doubtful to out. So we know he was not playing this week.
I'm guessing with the teams that are on bye, you probably aren't... You aren't trying to replace somebody. Logan Thomas probably the only tight end in that group that maybe somebody was playing or relying on. So you probably aren't just looking for this 1 week. In which case... If you're not just looking to patch it over this week,
yeah,
I'm not sure I'm even going for Rodgers. If you're just trying to add a tight end for a season long, Goddard, and then maybe what you're talking about, take a chance on Bryant. Everett kind of is what he is to me. You know, if he was there and I need somebody, I pick him up, but I don't know if I'm wasting, especially in redraft, you don't usually have very big benches. I don't know if I'm just burning a spot for that. Like in one of my redraft leagues, I have Hockenson. So I'm happy to burn a spot for that because he's a guy I might, if I was in a bad way, consider flexing. I don't know that I'd ever, unless I was truly desperate, be flexing Everett.
Yeah. Yeah. I put Everett on there because we don't really know. It doesn't seem, but I haven't seen anything of knowing like how long Higbee's going to be out.
I was surprised Higbee missed last week.
He was a surprise inactive last night. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, what the hell? When did this happen? So
I know we didn't even talk about that.
Yeah. All I saw was that he had a hand injury. So I don't know what that means. He could be out multiple weeks. So I figured. It almost like I kind of equate them to kind of the Houston tight end situation we've talked about, where it seems like if one of them is out, they always seem to kind of produce. And so if Higbee's out, I might kind of trust Everett a little bit. But again, I still haven't seen anything that suggests Higbee's going to be out any longer. He's going to be back. So I don't even know what to do with it. So yeah, I'm with you. It's for me, I'd go Goddard and Rodgers first. And then, like I said, Bryant's intriguing to me because we just saw last week what he can be in this Cleveland Browns offense. If he's able to be on the field, but you have a couple other factors in there that could either keep him on the field or take him off. So he's kind of that third one for me on that list. Let's see here. Outside of that, I think that's it. So we will be back Thursday with, what is it? Eagles?
It's, no,
Falcons.
Atlanta, Carolina. Yeah.
We will be back with the Falcons Panthers preview and probably some other stuff. We'll figure out something else to talk about on that Thursday episode. Until then, we will talk to you guys on Thursday. You can follow me at SportsFanaticMB, Matt over here at Nighthawk7734, and we will talk to you guys again on Thursday.
Prepare for glory!
I don't know if you got your popcorn ready. If you got your popcorn ready.
I came out the womb, I was ready.
And he's hit the end zone! For an unbelievable touchdown!
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Throw it up above his head. They can't jump with me. Golly!
Only tackle him at the 40.